I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And then now let's go back up to 2. Verse 2. The latter part of it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I again want to give the definitions for abide. It is comes from a Greek word. There are three words in this particular chapter that all come from the same Greek word. And that word, that Greek word, means to stay. And those three words are abide, continue, and remain. And so they have all of the same meaning. Wherever you read those three words throughout this chapter, we're not going to give all of those verses, but the Greek word means to stay. So for us to stay in the vine, to be connected to the vine, is how we will be able to bear fruit. How we will be fruitful in our spiritual life. I'm trying to think now of a vine. Some of you, if you've ever had a grapevine, this is actually speaking a lot about a grapevine, a vineyard. I'm thinking of this scripture over in Isaiah, I believe it's about the 5th chapter. And in that particular passage there, it may sound a bit negative, because it is bringing out some of the judgments of God. But I want us to look at that chapter and see some positive things. So if you'll just, you know, glance over there. We're not going to read it. We're just going to give you some of the positive things from verse 1, I believe, to about verse 5. In that particular passage, it says that who is it addressed to? It's addressed to his beloved. So we could say that it's talking to the church or the bride of Christ. And his purpose here was to reveal all that he does for you and me as his people, that we can produce fruit in our life. Because, see, remember he said, without me ye can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So this is what he did for them and has done for you and me. First of all, he has a vineyard, and it says that it's in a very fruitful hill. Now, the potential of your life and my life bearing fruit is in the fact that I am abiding in him. I am connected to the vine, my branch. The next point is that he is the husbandman. Now, a husbandman is one that takes care of this vineyard. And he goes on in this passage, he says, I fenced it. I put a fence all around it. A fence tells me that he's keeping everything out that could spoil my vineyard or my vine or my fruit. So the husbandman is protecting my fruit, you might say, from predators. The next thing he did, he gathered out the stones. He made it where it should take root. This vine should be in a very fruitful place, but if you've ever seen a stony ground, it's very hard to grow things where there's lots of stones. So he's worked to remove these things from our lives. We're going to call ourselves the vineyard. And he's taken the stones out so that you and I might be able to have root downward and bear fruit upward. The next thing he did, he planted the choicest vine. He didn't go to Walmart and just get a little grapevine for $2.98. He paid the full price for this vine to make it possible for you and me to bear the kind of fruit that he is pleased with. Now that's what he did. Now in the middle of this vineyard, he also built a tower. Now what does a tower represent? He is watching for you and me. He's watching for the dangers that could come. I remember one time, and you've probably seen it in Missouri and different places, especially down toward, I remember specifically, on our way to Myrtle one time, and you're going through a lot of forest and healthy, beautiful trees, but you'll see a tower every once in a while. And it's for the purpose of seeing, is there going to be a fire that will come here? I can see it a long ways off, you know. We can be prepared. I see a tower in the midst of our vineyard as being such as that. That he's watching for you and me to protect his vineyard and to protect his fruit that he is desiring to reap from your life and my life. But he not only set a tower there, but he also had a wine press, which tells me that he had some real expectations. Don't you know that he has expectations from your life and my life? And that the things that he allows in our life is only to work for producing the kind of fruit that will others can eat of, that can benefit his kingdom. After he did all of this, this is what he said. What more could I have done to make this a fruitful vineyard? There was nothing else that needed to be done. He did everything for your life to produce fruit, for my life to produce fruit, that would be a benefit to his kingdom. I'm not going to look at this from the judgment, because there is judgment if you and I are fruitless. But I want us to focus on all that he has done that I can produce fruit, that you can produce fruit. So we take now back to our original text, is that he is the vine. You are the branch. And now we have any one of you that have ever grown grapes, you know that if you do not prune them, if you do not cut them back, they produce on new wood, on new growth. But you can leave a grapevine go. You can let it go from year to year, and it will just become like a bramble. And every year, the fruit gets smaller. It becomes less edible. So you can go into a place where you had an overgrowth or out-of-control grapevine. You can go in and you can cut it way back. You can prune that grapevine way back. And come spring, it will begin new shoots right there. And if you will train it, it will produce a beautiful grapevine with wonderful fruit. And so the Lord is wanting you and I to see the benefit of this purging or purifying or pruning of a vine so that our fruit is on fresh new wood. So that is the production of fruit that he was looking for out of his vineyard. And he knows that you and I are not able to produce anything of ourselves. Can we die on the vine? The branch can die on the vine. In order to produce another branch, you cut it off at the vine itself, where it's dead, where its new green stem is, and it will get a new branch. So that's how he does it with us. Thank the Lord. Now, I want to say this, that abiding in the vine is to be connected to the source of life. And that's what you and I must be in order to produce this fruit that he desires in our life. Now I want to focus on the scripture that was in that text of "if my words abide in you." Words are so important. The word of God is important. I'm going to say I don't believe we will make it without knowing, understanding, reading, studying the word. The word, the scripture tells us the word is light. It's called the gospel. It's the part that we feed off of. We eat the word. He says in one place, "Take my word and eat it." Says it will be sweet in your mouth, but it will be bitter in your belly. And that seems strange, doesn't it? But in reality, that's how it is. We can take the word of God and we can read it and we can feast on it. Have you ever feasted on his word? Has he ever met you and anointed his word? Maybe in your little Bible study or in your devotion? Yes. And it's so sweet and precious. And as time goes on, it goes down into the spiritual belly and begins its work of digestion in your life. And sometimes then it brings bitter things that you have to endure. But it's all working for the strength of your spiritual life. And so the word is, what do we call the word? We call it, we know that it instructs us, doesn't it? The word teaches us, it guides us, it enlightens us. The word is the word wisdom? It is. We find wisdom in the word. We find that the word is truth. We find that the word teaches holiness, teaches you and me how to live a holy life. Without the word, where would we be? So if the word abides in you, if you can just get a hold of the word, it can work a work in you. So it has to abide in you. It has to stay in you. And we know the scripture that says, if you hide your words, his words in my heart, won't sin against God. Do you love the word? Do you find that it is very tasty? Enjoy the word. Learn to enjoy it. You know, oftentimes in working with individuals and also even in my own life, you feel hungry. Do you ever feel hungry spiritually? Lord, I need something from your word. Well, there is an opposer that will be there right then, and what will he do? He'll cause you to just open to something that I'm not getting anything out of this. And you have to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, open your word. I mean, this is what we have to do, to seek the Lord for his word to feed us, to be opened to us. It's just another book without the Spirit of the Lord opening the word of God and anointing it to us. It's just another book. But it is the Spirit of God that takes the word and makes it alive to us. And when you open the word and you say, oh, I didn't get anything out of that, do you just close it and say, well, maybe next time? Or do you stay with it and say, Lord, I need something from your word? Let it abide in you, for it's going to work something in you. So if it works, what's the rest of the verse now? If the word abides in you, if I abide in you and my word abides in you, what will happen? You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So that's one thing we're wanting to have in our little thought this morning, is asking of the Lord. What is asking of the Lord? It's prayer. Prayer is a vital part of our walk with the Lord. His word and prayer. He said in one place, pray without ceasing. Another place he says, several times, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So the word and prayer is what's going to help you and me produce the fruit that he's calling for in our lives. That's the two keys. Prayer, I'm going to give you a definition that's actually in the dictionary. It says it's a spiritual communion with God, along with an awareness of his presence. And when I read that, I had to stop and think of my own prayers. When I get down to pray, when you get down to pray, do you just start saying words all? Did you know it will pay us to get quiet before you start speaking words in prayer? Why do we have to do that? Because we're human, because we're all affected by the cares of life, with the busyness of life. Our mind is running in many different directions, even when you know it's time to pray. And so it will pay you and me if we will get before the Lord and get quiet. Now, for me, it helps for me to focus my mind on God sitting on his throne, and he's preparing to hear my prayer as I'm preparing to give it. I believe that the Lord sees us when we bow, and he knows those things that are in competition with our prayer. Did you know that there are things in competition with your prayer? Something is there. There is an enemy that is trying to oppose your very thoughts to be focused on prayer. It's a time that we have to shut the world out. That's why the scripture speaks about a closet, going into your closet. Well, most of us do not go into our literal closet to pray. We have a place, maybe. Do you have a special place that you go to pray? I do. I have a place that I am most comfortable to pray. And so, when I bow to pray, have you ever had so many thoughts come to your mind that you didn't have before you got down there? Oh, you need to call so-and-so. And you need to be sure and do this morning. And it can become a list. I sometimes have a tablet there, so I'll write it down so I can go on and not have that in my mind. You see what we're doing? We're coming before to commune with God, and we need an awareness of his presence in order to address the throne of God, and he being a prayer-hearing God, there has to be a relationship of abiding in him and his word abiding in me. And it sets the very stage, if you will, for him to hear and for me to speak. So this is where you and I need to understand, Lord, am I abiding in you? Are you abiding in me? Is your word abiding in me? If so, then I can come before you and I can ask what I will, and it shall be done unto me. Thank the Lord. Now, another definition was simply this, a devout request or petition. But I want to talk to you this morning, and I want you to stop and think about your prayers. I want you to just stop and think about the last time that you prayed, whether it was this morning in a hurried prayer to be able to get to church on time, or if it was last night before you went to bed. I want you to think about your prayers, and I want you to think about the words that you use in your prayers. Now, when the Lord brought this to my mind, I did that. I stopped and thought about some of the main words that I use in prayer. And this is what I found that I was saying. One word I say probably more than any other word. Let me back up just a little bit. Because this is important. When you approach the Lord in the beginning of your prayer, you need to show him honor and respect and praise. And that's according to how he taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, there's a praise there. So ever how you can praise the Lord in the beginning of your prayer, I believe it gets his attention. I do. Of course, you must pray in the name of Jesus. But the next thing the scripture tells us before we go on to these other words is that you and I must make our request known with what? Thanksgiving. And it is so important for your faith, for your confidence, to begin to thank the Lord for all he's done. It brings it back to your mind. And sometimes the Lord brings things to my mind that he did for me years ago, and I begin that prayer and start thanking him for something years ago. Don't you know that's important? To remember all that the Lord has done. So now we go to after I have praised and after I have had a thanksgiving. Now, what were your words? And I found that the one word I use probably more than anything else is help. Help. And I use it over and over. Help me. Help them. Help her. Help. I use that word a lot. And maybe you do too. And it's not wrong. Another word that I found that I used a lot was have mercy and compassion. Maybe you use those words too. When you're praying for someone that's in trouble, you pray, Lord, have mercy, have compassion. And then another word that I said a lot, and this came from a message that Brother Michael preached here many years ago, and I got a hold of it, and I've used it ever since. And it's the fact that he ministered on the subject of God can work where no man can work. And I use that in my prayers. Lord, work where no man can work. So those were some of the things that I came to my mind that I say in prayer, but I want to focus on this word help. Help is so needful from God. You and I are so weak. We are not able to help ourselves. I looked this word up and it had so many good meanings here. To assist in some action or change. Lord, help me that I will change. You ever prayed that way? Help me that I will change. It will provide aid and relief. Don't we pray that way? Don't we say, Lord, help Lanita, touch her body, give her relief. Those would be words that we've said, see? That's the help that we're crying out to the Lord for. Now remember, it's the abiding in Him and His words abiding in us that we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto you. It's this being connected to the vine, to the life-giving vine, that you and I are able to pray and make our requests known unto God. The scripture tells us He knows what we need even before we ask, and yet He says, you are to make your requests known unto God. Why do you think that is? It's because He wants you to know He has answered your prayer. He has done it unto you. See? Another word was succor or succor. I think I looked that up and I have always pronounced that succor. I like it. I like the pronunciation that way, but it's not the correct pronunciation. It's succor. But that word tells me that God has a special help in time of trouble. He wants to help you in every detail of your life and my life. In those things that you think, I'm perfectly capable of doing this, He wants us to be dependent. He does not want us to be so independent and think that we are something when we are nothing. He said over in the Gospels, He said, except ye become like a little child. Well, how is a little child? Dependent. Totally dependent. Unable to take care of themselves. Unable to feed. Unable to... Everything that a child needs is through the parent. Or through somebody that will supply that need. And so when you and I are coming to a place of making our requests known, we have to realize He's the only one that can help us. So, another one was promote effectiveness. Do you ever say, Lord, help me? If you're, whatever you're doing on your job, are you saying, Lord, help me on this job? Help me to know how to do it effectively. If you're ministering in the Word, you pray, Lord, help me to be able to express it effectively. That's the help of the Lord. We don't know how to do it. We don't have the right words, except the Lord give us the words. Do you say, Lord, teach me how to pray? I do that. Lord, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray about this situation. He will help you be effective in prayer. It is also to encourage, or it supplies the means. We are serving a God that is rich. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to what? His riches in glory. So he has that ability today that he can supply your needs, whatever it is. Psalms 121, I want to read a scripture in verses 1 and 2. And it says, I will lift up mine eyes, and I'm not going to put in there the next part. I want us to get our focus on the one that can help. I lift up my eyes, from whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? The next verse says, my help cometh from the Lord. So when we're praying and we're saying, Lord, help me, do you ever just go around your day and Lord, help me? Maybe there's nothing else you're saying, but you're just crying out to the Lord, help me in this, whatever I'm doing. There is a song also I wanted to give this morning. 342, abide with me. In the latter part of verse 1, it says, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. What's the next part? Help of the helpless. Help of the helpless. Abide with me. Do you see how you need the Lord's help? And it takes you abiding in him and him abiding in you, his word abiding in you. And then you can ask. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking of Peter when he was in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water. And he looked up and he said, Lord, if that's you, you bid me to come. And he said, I bid you to come. And he steps out on the water, and I don't know of any other human being that has walked on water except Peter and Jesus. And yet he became fearful and began to sink. And what were his words? Lord, save me. What does that mean? It means, Lord, help me. I perish. So we can say those words and it's the same thing. Lord, save me. Save me from this. I'm perishing. I also thought about over in Matthew the 8th chapter. Time's getting away, so I'm just going to tell you about it, for we're all familiar, where the disciples were in the boat and a storm came up and Jesus was asleep. And they went and they said, don't you care? Save us. We perish. And he awakened and he rebuked it, rebuked the wind, and they obeyed. And then they said, what manner of man is this? Would we be able to look at all that he does for us when we say, save us, help us, and see what the result is of our prayers? Lord, save us, we perish. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength and what? A very present help in trouble. I read this little account of John Wesley, and I thought it was noteworthy to present here this morning. It said that his horse was lame, and that was his mode of travel from congregation to congregation or place to place. And on this particular day, he had a severe headache. and his horse was lame. And this is what he said. Suddenly I had a thought. Cannot God heal man or beast as he will? It doesn't even sound like he made it a prayer. It was a thought. And the account said, immediately my weariness and headache ceased, and my horse was no longer lame. Lord, help. Help my horse. Help my... This word help, we all need help. I remember hearing, Lauren has told this, it was on the back of a picture from the Davis side of the family when their children were young, his mother was young. And they had some kind of a plague come through on their cows and...
It was something that they ate.
Oh, they ate something and they were... One died and the other one was sick and ready to die. And the father wasn't home. And the mother took the children and they went out and laid hands on the cow and said, Lord, help this cow. And it was healed. It's very important, see? In those days, a cow was very important. But there's other things that you and I need that's important today. Have you ever laid hands on a car and said, Lord, help this car? I remember Sister Velda was taking her children and going to California in an old car. And actually, we anointed the car. She came by here at the chapel and we laid hands on it and prayed for that car. I believe in these things. I believe God is able to help in all of our needs. But the secret is we must be abiding in Him. And He abiding in us. And His Word abiding in us. And then we can ask what we will. We can have confidence if His Word is abiding in us. We can have confidence. We can have that faith. Thank the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah 41 and 10. And it has this in it in several places. And I just have to read it here this morning. I feel like that we need to hear the Word of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's an abiding. For us to feel the presence of the Lord. And then it says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will what? Help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you skip on down to verse 13, and it says in the latter part of that verse, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, again, fear not, thou worm. I will help thee, saith the Lord. How many times do we have to hear it to believe it? That He is our help. And whatever we're passing through, we can cry out to Him. Say, help. You know, if a person is drowning, what are they saying? When they can, they yell, help. If a person is in trouble and they're needing help, they don't just say, help. They say it at the top of their lungs. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to prayer and yell, help. But don't be afraid to say, Lord, help me with whatever it is. He will help us. So in closing, how are we going to get our prayers heard and answered? By abiding in Him, being connected to the vine, being connected to the life of the vine and having life in our branch, and then having his words abiding in us. And then we can ask what we will, and it shall be done unto you. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.